Blog Talk Radio.
Sharing memories of our lost loved ones and friends. We appreciate you all for being here. And remember, if you're listening by phone and want to join the conversation, just press 1. And now here's our host, Wild Bill.
How are you doing tonight, Starla?
I'm kind of tired myself, but I'm here and I'm doing good.
Yeah. We sure appreciate you being here with us. I'm up in the big state of Iowa tonight, a little city of Monroe. Temperature is about 17 degrees, and I was trying to get prepared for the show, and it's sometimes it's a surprise for me when I hear the songs that I select for the different topics. And as that song was playing, it just, you know, it made sense to me due to the fact that, you know, we've all lost friends and loved ones and people we've worked with and things that, you know, were, you know, meant something to us in life. And, you know, I had my cousin tell me something the other day that just really stuck in my head, is that we can always be caught surprised by these things, even if it's been a long-term illness or something like that. And then we go through the whole process afterwards of how we deal with it. But Jesus is never surprised. He knows what is going to happen, when it's going to happen. You know, the whole thing of life and death is in his hands. And when you really get to thinking about that, and it kind of gives us a comfort to know that there is a purpose for things, even though at times we can't see it. And there's, you know, sometimes it seems like there's no rhyme or reason, you know, as to why things, you know, happen where someone is gone. And not just that, just the ache in your heart, the pain of, you know, those people not being there anymore. You know, it's hard. There's different things that happens in my life where I know it would be something that would really, you know, tickle someone in my family that's no longer here. But I automatically go to reach for my phone to call them, to share it with them. And then, you know, wow, you know, all of a sudden you realize you can't call them anymore. So the one thing that would really come to mind on that is stay in touch with your family. You know, stay in touch with your friends. Let them know how you feel about them, you know, because who knows? I think the Bible says that we're not promised tomorrow. It's today that we have to live with. And as I've mentioned several times, I have started listening to Sirius on the old radio shows that from back in the 40s and the 50s. And it's so funny, some of the things about my grandparents that I understand now, some things about their humor, some things that just, it was funny as a kid growing up, but I really didn't understand where it was coming from. And it goes again, so there's nothing new under the sun. You know, there's, you know, Hollywood may remake things over and over, and the press may, you know, put things out there, but if you really get to looking into it a little bit, a lot of these things have already been done generation after generation, and it's just maybe modified just a little bit for the day and time we live in. But I know it's been sort of therapeutic for me in the past. I've shared some things about my dad, but today I was thinking about my grandfather. My grandfather's name was Joe H. Powell, or Joseph H. Powell, but everybody's name is Joe. And he had a laugh. I tell you what, it was always just a booming laugh. It was one of those things that was infectious if you were around him. And he was one of the corniest people that there ever was, in one sense, with his sense of humor. But he had this keen wit that just always, you know, you had to stay on your toes because you never know. It could be just something simple of walking around and be talking to him, and all of a sudden he'd say ding, ding, ding. And while he was doing that, he'd tap you on the nose three times, and he could always time it so there wasn't any time to pull away or pull back or anything. He would always get you, and that just used to tickle him so much when he could do that. And one of the things I remembered about my grandfather was he loved to fish. And when he did that, you know, there was times I got to go with him, and so I kind of learned some things about fishing. But I tell you what, I'm not exaggerating. It looked like he used to take me up to ditches up around Carlisle, Lone Oak, Arkansas, and he'd pull out his cane pole, and he'd, you know, have his bucket of minnows. And I think, we're fishing out of a ditch. You know, there's not any way in this world he's going to catch anything out of there. And he used to catch some of the biggest bass and biggest catfish that I've ever seen out of what looked like a road ditch. Now, looking back, I can understand he kept up to when they used to flood the rice fields, and then when they used to, the levees, when they'd overflow, and the different things. And so he knew when that would happen that some of the stuff would overflow into these eddies and ditches and things, and it would be a good place to go fishing. And later on in life, my grandfather had a stroke, and I was really, I remember I got to go see him in intensive care, and there was another person beside him as a young person that was my age that had been to a prom and had a car accident, and I saw him struggling to breathe. And my grandfather was a man of great strength, not just of character, but of great physical strength. And here I was, I saw him, he couldn't talk, he was partially paralyzed on one side from having a stroke, and from what I understood, I think he actually had two or three strokes before anyone ever found him. He was at work when it happened. But anyway, I can remember trying to find my way out of that room and just seeing these huge black spots coming at me. I thought I was going to pass out, but I didn't. And I managed to get my way out of it because it was such a shock to see my grandfather down in that situation. But I remember that one of my fondest memories was Dr. John Shield from Beebe had came down and met everyone at the hospital to pray for my grandfather. And at the time, there was no motion, nothing going on. So it was just, he was there on a bed, and it wasn't looking good. And I remember they said Dr. Shield was just walking around him, praying for him. And all of a sudden, out the corner of his eye, where nobody was giving anyone any hope, he said he moved. I remember that he said he moved, and he got everyone in there. And, you know, they were telling us not to expect much. He had a stroke. But God had a different plan, and it was just so unique. My grandfather's mind never left him. He struggled with health issues for years after that, but his mind never left him. I mean, he could say the alphabet just as fast backwards as he could frontwards. And he had this little song that my sister and my cousin Bill learned that I never learned, but it was just this sing-song little thing that he had. And he could always remember those things that never left with him. But one of my fondest memories was where he came to church up at Beebe, Arkansas with us one night, and he had really progressed a long way. Went from being with a walker, a wheelchair, or being bedfast to a wheelchair, to a walker, to crutches. And I remember, you know, it was still he couldn't move on the crutches very far, you know, before his strength would give away in that one side. But I remember he went to church that night, and I remember that he was baptized in Jesus' name. And when he came out of the water, it seemed like there was just a glow about him. And I remember him running around that church carrying those crutches. And I was thinking, wow, what a mighty God we serve that would do that. And the reason I mentioned the fishing story earlier was I remember that night at church that, you know, they were having a little testimony thing after that. And I was thinking, my grandfather had always taken me fishing with him to his fishing hose. He loved to share that with me. But that night I realized that we could work together as being fishermen of men in a way that we never had before. And I remember that just kind of stuck in my mind and stuck in my heart, and it was shared during the testimony service. And I had my grandfather for, unlike most men, I'm awful with dates and times, and probably Blog Talk Mom can fill me in on what it actually was. But it seemed like I had him for another 17 or 18 years after he had that stroke. And he had a couple of strokes after that, and every time they were saying if he has another one, he's not going to make it, and he'd have another one, and he would continue to be with us. And I'm just so thankful for my grandpa. He really cared about his children and grandchildren. And I always felt like he was always in my corner. And I so wanted to be in his corner, you know, when his health got to where he couldn't, you know, where he couldn't move like he could before and everything. And I can remember one of the things that he lost was his appetite. And but we used to go to this catfish place and used to get the all you could eat. And there was times, you know, my grandmother, you know, would need a break from trying to take care of him, and I would take him out to eat catfish. And even though he couldn't eat as much, he always, you know, he was the man. He ordered that all you could eat. He'd wink at me, and he'd say, we'll take this other part over here home to Granny, you know, so she could have it. Instead of saying, you know, he couldn't eat it anymore, it was, or he didn't have as much appetite as he had before. It was, you know, we'll take this part home to Granny and everything. And I feel so blessed that on the night that he passed away, that I was able to be there with him. And, you know, it's just, it is so strange because my grandfather was so full of life that when he passed away, he was almost unrecognizable. That was just, if I hadn't witnessed that, I wouldn't have believed it. It's just, my dad used to always say that Grandpa was one of those people that he could survive anywhere. If he had to, he could have survived in a nursing home or prison or anything, because he just enjoyed living. It didn't matter if he was playing checkers or telling, you know, jokes and stories and things, or experiences he had when he used to drive trucks back when truck drivers were really truck drivers. You know, when he was sharing those things, he enjoyed life so much. And for those of you that may have known my grandfather, you know, you're aware of some of those things with him and everything. He was really into the practical jokes also. So, Scarlett, does anyone else have anything? Have we got any people called in yet with some thoughts on friends or family that they'd like to share with us?
Not so far.
Not so far? Well, I'll go into the other side of this. I really thought my son was going to call in tonight because being in the military, he's lost some people that were close to him, and I really thought that he was really touched. He had lost someone else that he knew that was redeployed in a helicopter crash the other day in Iraq, and I know that those things, you know, are really painful. From when I was in law enforcement, there were several departments at one time. I went through the police academy when I went there, and there was a few officers that after we graduated the academy had passed away, and it was a real blow because we achieved something. We went there, and it was 13 weeks of physical training and mental training and learning the law and being prepared for situations and things, and it was something where the pay wasn't that good, but it was a job to where you needed the other officers. You needed them to be there. It was one of those type things. And so I can sort of understand the bond of what he went through with loss of people in the military, but it's not near the same thing. I'm not even going to try to come close to saying it is. The other thing that I wanted to share about was a minister that went to our church up in Beebe. His name was Brother Hopper. And I didn't know Brother Hopper very well. I knew his grandchildren and everything from our church. But he had cancer and was pretty much, I guess they had sent him home. I was real young. I was just 17 at the time. A lot of the details I don't know. But I know that he was home, and the church to support the family had people come by and sit with them for a couple hours every night to kind of relieve them so they could get rest. And it's really not my nature, even now, to want to be in that situation, to be around that sort of thing. But for some reason or another, I volunteered to go and sit and to be a help. And I can remember that he shared with me that he had had this cancer before and God had healed him. And instead of doing the things that he promised God that he would do, where he'd be back involved in ministry and outreach and things, he was really big into coon hunting. And he talked about how that, you know, he got back into buying and selling the dogs and training dogs and going out and the whole thing of running the dogs, the whole world of coon hunting, which I know absolutely nothing about it, but he could. On the times we were sitting here, he told me story after story of that, but he always wanted me to realize that he had made some promises regarding that and that he had went back on it. And he told me that he wasn't expecting to be healed, but it was important for him that, you know, he had everything right with God before he passed away. And what happened is he would go through, I don't know if it was muscle cramps or spasms or what, but he'd have severe pain that would go through his body. And what he would want you to do is they had this Nineveh cream, and they wanted you to rub, whether it was his neck or shoulders or his feet or legs, whatever it was that was hurting. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm not a real touchy kind of person to do those sort of things with people even that I'm close to. So it was really hard for me to do that. But there was something there in the presence of that with him, you know, sharing these things with me about how he made promises he didn't keep, God didn't forget them, and now he was in a place to remember that, and he wanted me to remember, you know, what was going on in his life. He wanted to share that with me. And so as he would ask for me to rub, you know, like his feet or his legs or his neck or back or whatever, I would just pray for him. And it was just so awesome at during that time of prayer that I could watch him just ease and go to sleep. And, you know, sometimes his wife would come in and she would just be amazed that he would be resting because he was not getting a lot of rest during that time until he was just utterly exhausted. And I think it was God showing me something then to go along with what was going on, that God has mercy in those situations and that God cares. And we can still call out to him and he will move. And not just for, does the individual have to call out, but as a person trying to help someone, we have that power to call out for other people, that we can be there to, you know, request things in their stead. And in that process and everything, I remember the last night that I was there, he was telling me that, you know, he was seeing angels and things, and he told me before I left that I needed to get his wife in here, Sister Hopper, come in, and he was telling her that he was seeing angels and that he was, you know, he was fixing to leave this world. And I was thinking, you know, he's just in pain, you know, he's out of his head, you know, he's just sick. But later that morning after I left, I found out that he had passed away, that what he saw was really what was happening in his life. It wasn't something that he wasn't aware of, and he was wanting to say his goodbyes to his wife and everything during that process. And so here was someone that I really didn't know that well in a church that I went to, taught me a lesson in going through that process with him that I would have never learned if I had not been there to have been through that. And I think, you know, the Bible, you know, makes it clear that God always works things from both ends. You know, he doesn't just throw things out there and it just, you know, one person is affected and that's it. It's kind of like, especially with death, it's that, you know, like throwing a stone into a pond and watching the ripples going all the way around. It affects people all the way across. But the other side of that story was, and I had never witnessed anything like this before in my life, was when he had his funeral, it wasn't like any funeral that I had ever been to before. They were having church. And during that service, family that I didn't even know he had, that came down from Chicago, Illinois, were hitting the altars. People that had not been around church or in church for years and years and years. I remember one of them, I think, was his grandson, Ronnie, had never been to church, had never even been around his grandfather that much. And through that process, he found God, and not just that, was ended up going to the Christian school with us and everything. So it's that whole thing with the ripple effect. You know, a lot of things we don't understand. We know we understand the cycle of life, but we don't understand the impact. And, you know, you want to talk about footprints that's left on this world that goes on. You know, that was one of the things that was just so unique to that situation, that me telling you about it lets me know that just hearing the words come out, they sound so hollow compared to the experience of being there through that whole process, from the point of being up here at his house, sitting up with him for the 2 hours every night that I did that, to the point of his funeral, and all of a sudden seeing family come in and God move in as a flood into their lives. And it just goes back to that song, you know, his name is wonderful, to know that Jesus is in control, and that these things that pain us and hurt us and everything, that he is aware of our pain. He's aware of our sorrows, and he, you know, he wants to be there for us just like he was for that family. And so I just felt so blessed to be a part of that. Starlet, do we got anybody else out there tonight?
Not so far.
Well, I can't believe Blog Talk Mom don't have something to add on all that. She was there during part of that process.
Well, here she is.
I didn't want to interrupt because I really was enjoying the way that you were describing that while Bill, and I didn't know if my sweet Starla was going to step in there and share something about her mom, or so I was trying to stay in the background. But all of those things are, of course, that was my dad. That was your grandfather, and he was a character. And I have found being 70 years old, that something happens as you get older and you're not in the nest building and all of the things that you do when you first get married and have children and work jobs and get your children through school. You really reflect more on those people that's been in your life, and there's not that struggle. You really, I mean, for me, I can tell every day I glean something from my mom, dad, from your dad. There's just so much we can learn from each other. And the Bible says that for everything there's a time and a season, time to live, time to die. And actually the only service that Jesus for sure told us to do was to remember him, remember his death. And then all the way through the Old Testament, he commanded the children of Israel to remember, you know, to go back, remember how they were delivered, remember each person, and he set them up as patriarchs. So the greatest memory I have is Jesus Christ and what his life and death and resurrection has meant to me, because it seemed like that's when I really started hearing and understanding and comprehending. There was before that there was just some type of void in my ability to understand. Some people might agree it's still there, but the song you chose, there's something about that name. When we lived on Bethany Road, that song was popular, and I was cleaning the house one day, and it came on the radio. I was just starting to live for the Lord, and then right after that, the Lord led me and the whole family to baptism in Jesus' name, and then, you know the rest of the story because y'all were there. This memory is a wonderful thing. The enemy hates it. He would like to fill our memories with negative things. But I know you've witnessed it too, where you go to the Lord and you begin to pray, and the Lord takes your memory and brings out the positive and the good and the beautiful. And then you take those things and you build on them, and they're building blocks for all of the rest of today and tomorrow. I really love my mom and my dad for what they instilled in me, and for now especially I can see how they stayed together. It wasn't easy for them to stay together. They had just as many problems as anybody else did, but they stayed together, and that's a great heritage to give your children. And and Joy and I were there the night that your dad passed away, and that was a tremendous blessing from God to let us be there and all the negative gone and just be able to glean the positive out of that, so that we can all reflect on it and have happy memories. And from what I guess I'm saying is that from that, those building blocks, those people still live on. You know, the instruction Mother gave me and Daddy gave me, and the things I learned in my marriage, and the battles that we went through and came through, and God brought us through, then because of that, those people live on every day. They're still here.
Yeah. It's really one of the things is we want to judge everything from our viewpoint, from, you know, how we look at it. And like the thing with Dad, you know, his brother, the way he passed away, and he was all alone. And so that was one of the things that, you know, that was real important to Dad, was that he was not alone when he passed away. So we look at it as to what we gleaned from it. But then again, you know, what he gleaned from it was an answer to prayer.
Right.
You know, to be surrounded by people that loved him and everything. But it's just amazing to me, the ripple effect does not stop. And you're all right that we do go back and look at a lot of the positives and things. But also, it gives us a way to look at what we saw as major negatives at that time to realize that people are who they are.
Right.
That you can't separate the good from the bad and the things you liked and the things you didn't like. They're all little pieces of that person. And you know, as we were talking about someone the other day, you know, that we sort of had a, you know, I had a feeling that there was something with a commitment issue. And, you know, we were trying to really pray for this person. And it's real easy sometimes to just want to judge, you know, especially if it affects you physically or emotionally or something like that, a situation. But we don't know how hard the other person's trying. We don't know how they fell into a trap that they were playing with something they shouldn't have, but they never even realized the trap was there until they were in it. You know, and of course, good intentions is not all there is to living for God. It is, it's having that made up mind and making that commitment, just like marriage. Like I thought about, you know, grandma and grandpa, I remember being at their 50th wedding anniversary. And who would have thought after he had that first stroke that there would have been a 50th wedding anniversary?
That's right.
You know, he never lost it. That was one of the things that shocked me, because I've been around other people who's passed away. I've not seen anyone else like Paul that when he died, his body diminished as much as his did. It was just, that was how much full of, I had friends that saw him after he passed away and didn't even recognize him because the change was that dramatic. And who he was when he was alive, and the difference in passing, and that was just so shocking to me. But then again, looking back now, you just sort of, and it's funny, as I learn new things and understand them more, that's one of the things that really hurts me, because now some of the things they said, and I judged it to mean one thing, now I know what they meant. And I'm like, why couldn't I have known that before? Why couldn't I let them know that I understood? And, you know, that's part of the same thing with grieving. You're like, wow, why could that be? But then, like you're talking about, you can turn it around and look at our kids and our grandkids and your, you know, kids and grandkids. And you can see the same thing. It's just part of the cycle of life. It's part of who we are as people. And, you know, sad or happy, right or wrong, it's just, and I'm sure different family dynamics are different, too. So, because I don't think, like, Starla, you know, her family, it's the dynamic was different. The way, you know, they were brought up in a different part of the country, did a lot more traveling with the military. And so it's some of the things that, like we talked about the other day, things that seem normal to us were not normal to them. But the one thing about Granny and Grandpa, Nana Powell, was that I always felt like they were there for me. You know, right or wrong, they were there for me. You
Amen.
Know? You know, so it was one of those things. And I remember when I graduated high school, you know, Granny and Grandpa come up with $500 to pay for the school to be able to pay for me to have an accreditation. Boy, I can't really get that out. For my diploma, because the school couldn't, you know, it was a new school. You know, it was, you know, we were taking all the classes we were supposed to take and, you know, doing all the work. But, you know, there still had to be some organization up over that that said, okay, I'm going to accredit, you know, what you guys are doing over there. And so, well, they did that for me. And, you know, it meant a lot. Later on when I went in the military, when I took all my tests and everything, my education didn't hurt me a bit. That was one of their biggest fears. But I actually qualified to do just about any job that the military had for an enlisted person to do. But it really looked better to see that accreditation on there, that meant something to those people when they did it. Same thing later when I went to do the law enforcement, and, you know, I had to take some, you know, college courses, you know, after the police academy and things. All those things, you know, would have not meant near as much or carried as much weight if it not had been for them doing that. Of course, you got the whole story of how in the world did they, living through the times that they lived, learn to save money like they did to be able to come to our rescue financially so many times like they did. It almost sounds, you know, like an awful thing. I had a horse named Granny, and both of my grandmothers pitched in and bought that horse so I could have it. And, you know, I got thinking later, I don't know how they really felt about having a horse named Granny after them. You know? What do you think about your grandma? Well, I named my horse after her. probably wasn't, you know, I'm not sure they was really happy about that one. But did you have anything else you wanted to share about people that's gone, or, you know, people that's impacted your life and things like that?
Well, are you talking to me?
Yes.
There was just today, well, actually, when you announced it last week, it was awkward for me to somehow to focus my mind on people like that, you know, just, I mean, when it comes up, it's always in a positive way, but somehow when I went back into it to think about it, I don't know, I think there's a lot of regret begin to, and missing them, and wishing, you know, maybe some things like you said about Dad that, you know, you could have really understood what he was actually saying, and I know that there were so many times that he was reaching out to me to try to give me some really good advice, and I just didn't hear it. You know, looking back now, I know where he was coming from. So I just know that I have gleaned so very much from my mother's unbelievable life. She was a champion, even though she and I just, you know, like I said, when everybody's alive, there's the personality that pulls sometimes so against each other. But then after that is over with, then is somehow the good and the actual intent is different. You see it differently. I don't understand that. I wish it was not that way. But it is that way. It has been for me, and I've had other people confide in me that it's also that way for them. Actually, you didn't ever really know your dad, your real dad, your paternal dad, however you say that. He was killed in an accident, but he was so young, and we were so headstrong, but still his death, it helped me so much to realize how good God had been and how he'd watched over you and watched over me all during that time also to bring us to the point that we could all live for God. And then in your dad's last weeks, the Lord was so present, and we had just such a closure that even the day after he passed away, I was so confused at what I was really supposed to do. I was sort of out of my element. He had asked me to do some things at his memorial service, and I was going several ways in my mind, and then I felt his presence. I don't understand things like that, and I bet you it's what happened. And by him being there beside me, I immediately knew exactly what I was supposed to say and what I was supposed to do. And so there's so much more to eternity and to what we're going to be forever than what we are in this limited little space of time.
It's funny, when you're 17, it don't seem so limited and so short of a period of time, but when you get on up there, that's about 51, you look back. I say this several times, that people get tickled. I'm like, wow, when did I become one of the old people? You know, I'm like, stuck up on me here. You know, I wasn't expecting this. For our other listeners and everything, if you have comments you want to add, just push 1, and Starla will let us know that you're out there, and you can share what you have to share with us. Like I said, I thought Billy was going to call in tonight. You know, they just lost someone else in his unit. And I thought that the daughter of Mr. Parks may call in tonight. But, it's funny how some people on, you know, dealing with this thing. I found it's been very therapeutic, not just to think about these things, but to talk about it. And then to go back, because there's something about when you hear yourself actually saying, you know, some of the things of what you're feeling and all that part of your life that you're opening up and putting out there, that in one sense it makes it more real, But in another sense, it makes it even more of a miracle when you start looking at it big picture wise as to how it all, you know, fits together. And that's just the mercy and love of God, you know, because it is just one of those things that's hard to put your finger on as to, you know, what's going on in your life, you know, when you've lost people. You know, like I said, I heard this Trevor McGee and Molly thing today, and it just reminded me of Granny and Grandpa so much. It was, you know, they used to have the cutest little arguments over things. It was like everybody else, they could have them knock down drag out fights too, like everybody does. But it was so cute sometimes to listen to them fussing about things, especially, you know, on, you know, where they were going to go or what they were going to eat and some things like that. And Grandpa had to get up early in the morning, so when he made breakfast, he made enough for Granny she was not a morning person at all. But he would make enough, you know, bacon and eggs so that, you know, and biscuits, that, you know, when she got up, all she'd have to do is just kind of heat it up, and her coffee would already be made. And so she, you know, she had her breakfast already made. And that was just so cute, you know, to think about, you know, how they did those things together and everything. And, you know, in one sense, you know, Granny ran the house. But, you know, she couldn't have done it, as both of them being as strong-willed as they were, unless he agreed to it. Of course, even though she was about half his size, I'd have felt sorry for him if he hadn't agreed with it.
And you see his sense of humor. I know when I was a teenager, I brought a girlfriend, well, I guess my best friend, home one day. And he didn't even know Carol that well. And so he got him a piece of, I guess it was paper towel or maybe it was cotton or something. He got it wet and got it, you know, quite a bit of moisture in it. And he walked up behind her and he did a real big sneeze, like, ah, chew. And then he flung that moisture on the back of her neck. And if you could have seen her face, because she just thought, sure, he'd sneezed all over her. And he laughed. And but that sense of humor, when he was stricken for 18 years, it brought him through, because he was just, like you say, he could just, whatever life dealt him, he was able to just take it, accept it.
Yeah, what was that he pulled on Dad that time at the church dinner? They was talking about someone, Dad was eating some pie. He goes, boy, that sure is good pie. Grandpa said, yeah, she's pretty clean, but she sure picks her nose a lot.
Oh, yeah. He could just, those one-liners. And I've seen him testify in church and just bring the house down. I mean, he just had charisma. And remember words to songs that it would just amaze you. He never forgot anything. And it seems like I should have gotten just a little bit of that, but Lord knows.
Well, you do have the personality thing where you can stand up in front of a room and, you know, tell everybody thank you for wishing you happy 70th birthday, even though you only look 60. I mean, that sounds just like your dad.
Oh, he was a hoot. He just had, I should really write down some of the funny things that he did, because it was like one-liners. He could have probably made a fortune if he'd have been a comedian. He never was short for anything like that. And Mother, oddly enough, you know, she seemed to be so sedate and not that way, but the last couple of years she was here, she would hear a cute joke, and if we went to the doctor or wherever we went, she, especially that one that she liked so much about $10 is $10, because that was just so much her personality. So we'd be at the doctor and halfway in the door and halfway out, and she'd be finished telling them that story. Sense of humor is a wonderful thing, and being able, well, it's, the Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine, so it obviously does.
Yeah, I remember when she was on her deathbed, you know, they were talking about giving her a pill, and she made a motion like to chop it in half, and so they said, in half, and she did twice, and they said, two halves? And she got tickled and told the auction on one side, she goes, two-thirds. It's not two halves. I mean, four halves.
They did some really cute things, and they were a very attractive couple, and had to go through the Great Depression, and that they did it, and they were overcomers. Mother was extremely good with budget and money, and Daddy was like me. If you had a dollar, it was to spend. And but Mother thought, well, you know, she'd saved and cleaned houses and all this, and I think she had a little chunk of money, and Daddy was going to be the breadwinner, so she gave it to him, and he went out and he bought a car, and then he got a big bunch of fish. He was going to resell the fish. The car broke, and the fish died, and that was... Daddy was on an allowance the rest of his life. He lost that amount. They told that story. That was so funny.
It's so funny. You know, Grandpa could catch fish out of a ditch, and Granny could go buy something for a dollar and sell it for 50. And that just made her so happy she could do that.
Oh, yeah, and, she did. She was, it was almost like a gift. I'd go to a yard sale with her, and I wouldn't see a thing, and she'd rummage around in some box and pick out something, and it would be a quarter, and she'd say, I'd like to buy this. Can I have it for a nickel? And then she'd wink at me, and she'd get out, and she'd say, now, this is worth $10. knew all about those things.
Yeah, not just that, but the people that worked for her, you know, she'd find those, you know, winos or retired people that, you know, did certain things that she needed done, and, you know, she'd hire them. And I think before they got finished with the job and everything, they'd done four times as much work as what they were supposed to do to get paid.
Well,
and
she
could squeeze a dollar until it squealed. But I remember one of those things at the yard sale one time, she'd do those people down. Well, I'll take all the, you know, the things were marked like a dollar a piece. Well, I'll take all these 10 things if you'll let me have them for $5. And finally, the guy was so frustrated. And anyway, she said, finally said, well, she goes, $5 is all I really got to spend anyway. So the guy finally said, okay, fine, you can have it all for $5. And she's like, you got change for a 20? But when she said it, her eyes just twinkled so big and everything. And that guy was like, yes, I got change.
She was funny.
Yeah, she was. Do we got anybody else, Darla?
No, but I'd like to say something about my mom.
Okay.
She was, first and foremost, a mom. And I can remember one of her favorite things to do was bake. And she made the best bread. And my favorite memories was coming home from school and seeing her bake, you know, getting to taste her goods. And she was also a disciplinarian. And if she told you that you were going to get a spanking early in the day, you knew that bedtime would not come before you got a spanking. But she was the world's most wonderful mother.
Well, she had the world's sweetest, loving daughter, too, not excluding my daughter, of course. But you have been just a wonderful daughter-in-law, and I love you very much.
The things about Starla's mom that blows me away was to have such a large family, how that she was able to do what she did to provide for that family. I mean, the stories that I would hear, you know, Pam and Russ, things that they remembered, it would just blew you away. And the kids came first. I mean, there was no doubt about it. It was the kids. And you know how we got that sarcastic humor fun thing? I remember when I was first trying to, when I met Starla, I was trying to fit in at the table. And so I was going to make one of my sarcastic jokes about Starla and everything. Not just did she not laugh, she informed me that that's not funny. And she's like, you're not going to make any points around here talking about Starla.
All right.
She was very protective.
Yes, she was. You know, several joke went about 2 inches and crash dived, you know, boom, it didn't fly at all. But it wasn't that they didn't have that same kind of humor. It was just that I had picked, I was a new person, and I started off on the wrong foot. And she's letting me know it right from the get-go.
Well, but sometimes their sense of humor, you know, we try to use somebody else's sense of humor, and it doesn't work, I don't think. But
well, you know, like Dad, you know, I remember in the second grade, my school teacher was looking for something, and I said, "It's right up under your nose, stupid." And after he got done beating me with that three-cornered ruler, I thought, that was awful funny when Dad said it to me. I don't know why. And all the kids thought it was hilarious at the school. And then they looked terrified as she was dragging me out, beating me with that ruler. So, yeah, some of those things don't work quite the same. For sure. Did you have something else you wanted to share on that, Starla?
Well, I could go all night.
Yeah,
she loved to entertain. She was quite a hostess. That I think that's when she was really the happiest, was when she was entertaining.
She really believed in taking care of stuff, too. I mean, if you saw her house, everything always had a place. We never knew when you come in if she was going to repaint something. Or, I mean, it was just, you know, for a single woman living alone, it was just amazing, you know, some of the things that I saw with her and everything. I mean, it was, and cook, man, I mean, you know, she when she had company coming over, there was a spread put out. And desserts, I mean, she made the homemade cookies, the homemade pies. It was just, if you left hungry from being at one of her dinner spreads, it was your own fault because the food was there. And it was, the only thing that they ate that I didn't like was some kind of lima beans they ate different than what we do. But
Ford Hook lima beans.
Yeah. But, and then I ate a lot, of course, they all ate lobster and seafoods and things, you know, things that I just never did. So, you know, they were, you know, they had been around. They had traveled with the military and things, and so it was just a totally different way of looking at things. And the boy, and you talk about an infectious laugh. You could be in the other room, and they could be, you know, Starla and Pam could be in the kitchen with her laughing about stuff, and everybody would have to go in there to find out what she was laughing about, because she just had a way it would just carry through the house. And it put a smile on your face. They may have been talking about you, but it didn't matter. It was still, you just had to go up there and just smile back. It just, that was just the way it was. And it's one of those things that, you know, it was a shock. You know, when we lost her mom, it was just, I don't know. I thought we had, you know, that's one of the things you think you have more time. You have your perception of things regarding life and death that it's just, it's just your perceptions what it is, you know. And so that's one of the things that makes it so hard. Even with Grandpa, he was ill for so long, you think that you would have got used to him, like, well, you know, he could go any time. But when he left, I missed him so much.
Oh, it I did. Just,
yeah.
Absolutely. That was his death. I just wasn't. And like you said, for someone to be sick 18 years, and to be hospitalized so long, but there was the night that he passed away, that when they brought him back from surgery and they told us that he wouldn't, you know, that he had to die because of the situation, and the chaplain came in and we began to sing, and the presence of God was just, it was tangible. And then, but when he was gone, it was just, it was really very, very, very difficult. And I really appreciate you having a program like this. It's everything I've ever studied and with hospice, talking about people and bringing them back, bringing them into the present is a very healing thing, very wonderful thing. I know when Sister Kaiser pastored the church in Murfreesboro, we had a young girl that was visiting. She had just given her heart to God, and then she was in an accident and died about a week later. And I could not accept her death, somehow it just wouldn't, there was no closure there. And a year later, we had a big family get together at the church, and the family came and we shared things about her, and you could just feel it. There was somehow or other, we all let go, and there was healing and there was peace. So there's seven stages of grief, they say, and then a person lives on forever.
And it's not just family. I mean, I was thinking today, and this sounds kind of funny, I remember that there was a lady, her and her husband owned the John Deere dealership in BB, Arkansas, and she got cancer, and somehow or another you and her became friends, and she was lived right off Main Street, North Little Rock. But why in the world that jumped into my mind? I couldn't have been. Well, I guess I was, you know, probably in the ninth or tenth grade at that time. But I remember the impact that it had on us just going up there and you spending time with her. But, you know, you think, oh, why would something like that come back to me? I couldn't even remember the woman's name. I just remembered that her husband had owned the John Deere dealership, and I guess they separated at the time she got sick. You know, I don't remember a lot about it, but I remember it was just, you know, do you remember who I'm talking about?
Oh, and Betty Huffaker. When the Lord brings somebody into your life, there's purpose to everything. I don't think there's literally anything in life that there's not purpose to. And it was one of the most beautiful experiences to be with her and to see her receive the truth and to be baptized and to receive God. It was beautiful. And another incident, when I worked at the furniture company, a lady that I met there, and we were just friends for a short time. She was a fireman there in Murfreesboro, and she trusted me when she only worked part-time, and we became closer. When she found out she had cancer, she attended Brother Becton's with me and received the Holy Ghost that afternoon and was baptized in Jesus' name. And just for that short period of time, I wouldn't take anything for having known her. She was one of the strongest, most positive people that I've ever known. It's life-changing to know them in life and then to experience with them in death. You're never the same. You're part of them is part of you in that experience.
Yeah. That's what, when I had that picture in my head of the ripples today, I think it's what was making those people in those situations come back to mind, let us know that it continues to affect people for, you know, we don't know how far and how long.
That's right.
But we're getting towards the end of our program here. We are going to continue to have these every so often. And, you know, for people that feel that they want to share things, I don't know if people had work or different things come up tonight where they couldn't come in. But if nothing else, I find it's healing for me to just remember, to just take time to show respect, to remember. You know, it's not but a moment of time. But in doing that, it's not just a healing thing, but it kind of, you know, we talk about a lot of things bring you to accountability. You know, there is a heritage there, and, you know, there's positives and negatives, and everyone wants your children to do better than you. And so we want to remember that. Next week's program is going to be a little bit different. I don't know why I felt led to do this, but we're going to discuss John 3:16, a scripture that everybody learns when they're little kids. And I just want us to go into that, to what that scripture actually says and what it means, because I know some faiths take that to be the whole thing. You know, just pretty much believe and that's it. You know, nothing else. But I want us to get into that as to what that scripture actually says, you know, to delve into. So everyone get your Bible down, look into it, you know, share what you have to go on that. I want to thank you, Starlin Blog Talk Mom, for being on here. And for those of you that didn't, you know, say anything this time, you know, we do this every Tuesday night, and we're going to have the show again, Memorial Service shows come back, and, you know, we invite you to take part. I love all you guys. God bless you. And I guess we will do this again next Tuesday night.